Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. On today's program, we will discuss the healthful properties of beans and their role in nutrition and disease prevention. Our featured guest is Dr. Gert Boba, Ph.D., Principal Investigator at the Linus Pauling Institute at Oregon State University. Dr. Boba will share his exciting research regarding the consumption of beans in the diet and their protective effect against diseases, including cancer. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, there's good news for garlic lovers. Minced, sliced, roasted, garlic is one of the best ways to build flavor, and now new research suggests that it might have potential in building stronger bones. Now, that's great news for about 30 to 40 million Americans who are at risk of the disease osteoporosis. Estimates suggest that about half of women and a quarter of men over age 50 will break a bone due to osteoporosis. The risk is greatest among postmenopausal women, as dwindling estrogen levels signal big losses in bone mineral density. Fortunately, a new study shows how garlic, that fragrant, spicy bulb, might benefit bones. 44 postmenopausal women, 45 to 65 years of age, took the equivalent of 2 cloves of garlic or placebos daily for 1 month. The garlic group registered a 38% drop in certain blood markers linked to bone loss. The markers are associated with the leaching of calcium from the bones into the blood, so scientists speculate a drop may help offer protection against this process. These results may help explain why one twin study found that twins who ate the most allium vegetables, that's garlic, leeks, onions, shallots, and others, enjoyed 11% lower osteoporosis risk compared to their twin sibling. If the flavor of garlic wasn't enough incentive to enjoy its myriad of uses, what about potential heart benefits? Garlic was found to reduce diabetes-induced damage to the heart cells in one animal study. Garlic and its cousins are also under study for potential protection against certain cancers such as prostate cancer. Meanwhile, here are a few other dietary and lifestyle tips for building backbone and the rest of your skeleton. Reduce salt intake to curb calcium loss. Don't forget vitamin D. Have your levels checked and bone up with sensible sun exposure and vitamin D, mushrooms, and mushroom powder. Favor watermelon, tomatoes, and guava, all loaded with lycopene, linked to lower osteoporosis risk. And more carrots and cantaloupe to your cart. They're tops in beta-carotene linked to higher bone mass among female coeds. All of these steps will help you maintain a healthy weight, a good thing since higher fat mass is linked to lower bone mineral density. Well, pedometer use is linked to more physical activity and less sitting. Those cheap pedometers that tell you how many steps you take a day really do work to get you moving, according to a new study. The research presented at the annual meeting of the American College of Sports Medicine showed that using a pedometer is associated with fewer hours sitting, more time spent being active, and weight loss. This is a very simple intervention that can reach a large number of people at a low cost. As companies and communities develop programs to increase physical activity and positively impact health parameters such as weight, there is a need to think of associated costs. The study included 26 people, 22 women and 4 men, between the ages of 40 and 66. The study participants wore pedometers every day for 12 weeks and also received nutrition and exercise advice emails 2 times a week. Researchers encouraged the participants to try to be active during the times of day when they typically weren't moving, like while watching TV, for instance. They found that when the participants wore the pedometers, they spent more time being active and less time sitting. Plus, the average weight decreased by 2.5 pounds for each week of using the pedometers. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, do we know how phytochemicals protect against cancer? Well, you know, the researchers suggest that phytochemicals usually work either as blocking agents or suppressing agents. Now, blocking agents work on the carcinogens. These are the cancer-causing compounds. They actually prevent them from affecting the body's cells. For example, indoles found in cruciferous vegetables such as cabbage, cauliflower, and broccoli work as blocking agents by increasing colon enzymes that can deactivate some of these carcinogens. Others block the ability of bacteria to attach themselves to the surface of the cell. Now, suppressing agents work on the body's own cells, combating malignant changes that have been started by free radicals or carcinogens. They can also slow tumor growth by suppressing cancer cells' ability to reproduce, and they can suppress certain enzymes that cancer cells need in order to grow.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Today we will be talking about beans and their role in health and disease prevention. Our featured guest today is Dr. Gert Boba, Ph.D. Dr. Boba is a principal investigator at the Linus Pauling Institute and assistant professor in animal and human nutrition at Oregon State University in Corvallis, Oregon. He has advanced degrees from Iowa State University and Johns Hopkins in animal and human nutrition. Before coming to Oregon State University, he was at the National Cancer Institute. And his goal is to inform people about wholesome nutrition for a long, productive life. Well, Dr. Boba, thanks so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Well, you know, Dr. Boba, I know you have that goal of teaching people about how to have wholesome nutrition for a long, healthy life. And I know part of that motivation comes from personal experience, doesn't it?
Yes, that is true. Before I actually was born already, my grandfather passed away on lung cancer. So cancer, as well as an aunt, died very young, was 40 years old on cancer. So cancer, even as a child, was always in the forefront of my mind. So then I thought about, what can I do? See, my background is in nutrition, so I was specifically interested in looking at nutrition. And one of the cancers primarily affected by nutrition is colorectal cancer. And again, I had a personal story. My father had precancerous lesions, actually. He belongs to a high-risk group, so I know I'm most likely also high-risk for colorectal cancer. So that's how I got very interested in colorectal cancer and then also in dry beans.
Well, let's talk about dried beans and the role they can play in cancer prevention. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I personally got very interested in dry beans actually, when I started at the National Cancer Institute as a cancer prevention fellow, they just had published a new study which showed a link that in people who were at increased risk, like my father and potentially me, with colorectal cancer, that eating a diet rich in dry beans decreased their risk for advanced lesion by 65%. So, of course, I got very interested, and that was a project I felt was the best fit for me. So I looked in this poly prevention trial more, what can we do in terms of eating dry beans, and what is it what actually protects us by eating dry beans against
now let's get
cancer?
To let's get to some basics first, so people have a clear understanding about dry beans. What are dry beans? Are dry beans the dried version of a green bean, let's say? Define dried beans and some of the types of beans that are included in that category.
Sure. So dry beans, you probably heard about, it belongs to the family of legumes.
Right.
Legumes, for instance, there are all kinds of beans. You have probably heard about green beans, peas, lentils, all kinds of beans like white beans, navy beans, pinto beans. So these all belong to the same family. This specific question they ask for dry beans, and they're the primary source of dry beans is, for instance, pinto, navy, kidneys, or black beans, but also things like lentils. And where do you eat them usually? Usually a good source for this one is, you have heard all about bean soup or guacamole. There are lots of types of bean salads. So there are multiple ways you can actually increase your bean intake.
Now, when you said guacamole, people think of avocado. Are you saying to blend in like mashed beans into that? Or
Yes.
I have heard of people take, do peas fit into that category?
Yes.
Okay.
You could also do like chickpeas. So there's a lot of options how to increase it.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about some of your research, but maybe let's start with some basic information about how much cooked dry beans should a person eat maybe on a regular basis to observe protective effects?
This is a great question. Generally, the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, recommends to eat in an American diet 1.5 cups of legumes per week. Legumes primarily is a lot of it is dry beans. From the poly prevention trial, we saw that the highest quartile of dry bean intake was the protective effect. Those people ate on average 35 grams per day, which is converted approximately 2 cups of dry beans per week.
Okay, 2 cups of dried beans per week, and that's any type of bean?
This is any type of dry beans. They looked specifically on dry beans versus green beans or green peas, and also there was a protective effect of green peas and green beans. It was not as much as for the dry beans, where pinto, navy, kidney and black beans were the primary sources for the dry beans.
Let me ask you this, because there's a little confusion sometimes with nuts and peanuts being considered a nut, but they're actually a legume. Would peanuts fit into this category?
We specifically looked at dry beans and green beans. We didn't ask specific questions, for instance, peanuts, so I can't comment on that one.
Okay. Now, some of these dried beans I've seen in some of the research are quite high in antioxidants. Isn't that true?
Yes. And we believe that part of the protective effect of the dry beans probably have to do with the antioxidant effect. But there are also other things. Dry beans are an excellent source of dietary fiber as well as proteins. As we all know, the American diet is relatively low in fiber. And part of why these people in the poly prevention trial increased the dry bean intake was because they wanted to increase their fiber intake. And we know all the positive effects fiber can do to your health.
Now, the type of fiber in beans is more the soluble fiber, isn't that correct?
Correct. This is a more soluble fiber, which in itself has, for instance, some of these antioxidant effects which you are talking about.
So you're looking at cancer, but the soluble fiber will also help in helping people lower cholesterol.
Correct. that is one of the wonderful effects of dry beans. It's an excellent source to decrease your cholesterol content. That's basically any study who looked at dry bean intake was very effective in lowering cholesterol intake in persons, because it's usually you substitute some meat component which is relatively high in cholesterol. Furthermore, you decrease with that one also. Dry beans are rich in polyunsaturated fatty acids. So by eating dry beans, you decrease your saturated and total fat content.
Yes. I see in some of the studies that you had sent me that you were involved in that you mentioned that high legumes may be beneficial in helping to lower the glycemic index of a person's diet. And why is that important?
Glycemic index is very important, especially for feeling satiated. So a low glycemic diet, which like beans, which is relatively low in the glycemic index, keeps releasing glucose at a much lower rate. So you will feel for a longer time full, which decreases then also appetite and will help you with your weight loss.
That's great. Now, what are some of the other health benefits of eating beans that you have found in your research?
One of the things we talked already about in terms of weight loss, I was involved in a study, the LIFE study, where in the second part of the study, they looked at if you would be able to lose weight. And over a four-week period, this male consumed 1.5 cups of cooked dry beans per day. And they were able to lose over the four-week period 2.2 pounds per week of weight. So it was very effective with losing weight. But there are also other things which are very beneficial. We talked a little bit about, I looked at markers of inflammation, and they were also decreased, as well as other cardiovascular risk factors. You may have heard about things besides cholesterol, about homocysteine, which is associated high levels with increased risk of cardiovascular disease.
Let's talk more about, you mentioned the LIFE study, L-I-F-E study. Tell us more about that and the participants that you had in that study.
So the LIFE stands short for Legume Inflammation Feeding Experiment.
Okay.
And it's a crossover feeding study, but it's a controlled feeding study. So this was going over 10 weeks. We had 4 weeks. These were only males, middle-aged males, who were for 4 weeks on a high dry bean diet and 4 weeks on a healthy U.S. diet. Both diets were isocaloric in the first phase, which means they both were made so that they had the same consumed the same calories and they wouldn't lose also weight. That was another thing. So the high dry bean diet contained 1.5 cups of cooked dry beans per day, and that's substituted primarily chicken meat in the control diet.
Mm-hmm.
And in that diet, which is quite high, people were able to effectively decrease their cholesterol concentration as well as several other markers of inflammation as well as cardiovascular disease risk.
Now, how much beans were these participants getting in their diet? It was quite a high level, wasn't it?
Yes, it was 1.5 cups of cooked dry beans, which are approximately 250 grams of cooked dry beans. This is very, very high. Despite this high amount.
And that was per day?
That was per day.
A cup of cooked beans per day.
1.5 cups.
One and a half cups.
1.5 cups. So as I taught before, the USDA recommendation is 1.5 cup per week. And
right.
These people had 1.5 cup per day. And as I told you before, the one where we had seen before a protective effect in the polio prevention trial, the PRU study, they ate 2 cups per week. So this is much higher. But we wanted to see over a short time if we were able to modify some of the risk factors for cardiovascular disease, obesity, and cancer.
And you got good results with that. With those large amounts of beans, probably a lot of people will be asking, well, what about controlling, were there any gastrointestinal problems such as flatulence with all those amounts of beans?
Yeah, we were very worried about that, right, that people might not tolerate this high amount. But it was just quite the contrary. Many people actually felt better on the high driving intake because that also increased your intestinal passage rate and makes you more regular,
yes,
so to say. So we were worried about it, but it was just the opposite. Also, the people were very happy because with this portion, they felt actually it created a satiety feeling. So they felt satiated when they ate. They didn't feel they needed to eat something extra.
So for someone trying to control their weight, that satiety is a big deal there. And having some chickpeas or having some beans as a little snack could be very beneficial.
Definitely. So especially this part, we want to follow up with another controlled feeding study to see how dry beans compare to other diets.
Now, one of the things that I think some people have challenges with, and particularly when I do some counseling with patients and so forth, trying to get them to eat more beans, of course, that flatulence issue is a big deal. And some will say, well, I won't never eat beans because of flatulence. But, and you know, we look socially about flatulence, of course, being unacceptable and so forth. But isn't some of that things going on in the intestinal tract that may promote flatulence, are there actually some beneficial things going on?
Yes, this is our current study wants to look more how it actually changes our microbiota in our intestines, because we believe that by changing the microbiota, we might be prevent some of the gastrointestinal diseases. So definitely a lot of, especially the soluble fiber sources, will create metabolites which potentially have chemoprotective effects.
Okay. Now, there are some things that, are you familiar with the enzymes that some people take that feel that may help in controlling some of the gas problems or flatulence?
I haven't done research on that one, so I'm not an expert about this one.
Give us some practical ideas of ways that people can get more beans in the diet.
For me, it is, of course, I had one of my favorite dishes since I was little, was lentil soup, and I love lentil soup very much. So for me, soups as well as bean salads, I like very much so. So I like when it's more in summer to eat a nice with green beans as well as dry beans in it. That is one of my favorites. And soups, otherwise, especially, I really like it because they fill me up. A wonderful source of proteins, fiber, all the good nutrients one needs.
Well, give us some key messages then regarding dry beans and health that you would like consumers and the listeners to know on the health benefits of the beans and practical ways that they can incorporate them.
The main things I want to emphasize is that dry beans are an excellent source of proteins as well as fiber and contributes mainly to a lot of the nutrients and minerals our diet needs to contain. Furthermore, there is also health benefits, multiple one on coronary heart disease, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity, as well, of course, on cancer prevention. So I feel dry beans should be a part of any healthy diet, and we should all try to increase it.
And again, the quantities of beans you would recommend to try to eat each week or each day?
So USDA says about 1.5 cups of legumes per week. And like I said, from the polyprevention trial, it looked like 2 cups per week did the trick there for colorectal cancer prevention. So I think these are good goal lines to achieve.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about some of the work you're doing? Are you doing any more bean work at the Linus Pauling Institute, or you're involved in some other research? And I just want to mention that I met Dr. Boba at a recent conference, the Diet and Optimal Health Conference at the Linus Pauling Institute there at Oregon State University, which was a really great conference with a lot of great information. Tell us a little about some of the work you do there.
Right now, I'm looking for one for exposure biomarkers of dry bean intake so that we can follow up in this big cohort, people how much dry beans they actually consume and absorb. That is one line. The other thing is looking for specific compounds in dry beans which are associated with decreased risk of colorectal cancer as well as on decrease of body weight.
So if someone wants to follow up with your work on dried beans and some of your other nutrition research that you're doing, there is a Linus Pauling website that people can go to learn more about some of the things you're doing?
Yes, of course. There's some of the information about here, what I'm doing, of course, on my personal website. There's also some additional information, but primarily I would refer to the Linus Pauling website.
And that website is LPI, that stands for Linus Pauling Institute, that's lpi.oregonstate.edu. Once again, that's lpi.oregonstate.edu, a tremendous website by the Linus Pauling Institute that has a lot of great information on nutrition and health. And the website also contains the Linus Pauling Institute's Micronutrient Information Center, which is a source of scientifically accurate information regarding the roles of vitamins, minerals, other nutrients, dietary phytochemicals, and some foods and beverages, including foods such as beans, and their role in preventing diseases and promoting health. And all that information is on the Linus Pauling Institute website. Well, Dr. Bobo, we want to thank you so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity, and I want to wish you the best of success as you continue your research in beans and other nutritional aspects of health and how they can improve the health and longevity of the people that read your research and get more beans in the diet, right?
Thank you so much for your time and listening to me.
Thank you. I would like to personally invite you to visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. You'll see a list of the top health books that I personally recommend that you include as part of your health library.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.